Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. We appreciate your presence so very much. Hope that you have a wonderful afternoon. I know that we have some are in meetings over some great things for God's people in this place and for the lives, the souls of others, and not only in this area but abroad and other things going on. It's the Labor Day weekend, they call it, and some are out of town and some have been out of town and are back, and a lot going on. And I believe most of us will have tomorrow off from our work, and so I hope you are able to spend some time with those that you know and love and enjoy that day. If you're visiting with us, we want you to come back and be with us again. We appreciate your presence so very much. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10. That is our text for our lesson this morning. A few years ago, I saw a commercial I thought was just brilliant. It was it stuck with me. The commercial started with a shepherd, and he had sheep with him. He was leading these sheep in some distant countryside, and it reminded me of those old Irish Spring commercials from the 70s. You know, they had this kind of rustic experience. The shepherd didn't. He kind of had an older kind of clothing on, and you hear the sheep, and it's just a beautiful hillside, and he's just kind of leading them. And then all of a sudden, you hear this ringing sound. And he stops, and out of his cloak, he pulls a cell phone, and he starts talking on his cell phone. And I thought, that's brilliant. That's I don't know who came up with that marketing, that commercial, but whoever did, you know, I hope got a raise, because it really was interesting because of the paradox of that, and it was good advertising. It's the past meets the present kind of thing, and there was this overall message in the commercial that everybody has a cell phone. You know, even shepherds who are in distant lands and other places, and they get reception. So it was a fascinating commercial, and it hadn't been long since that commercial came out, and so I'm just kind of checking to see if it worked. How many of you, by show of hands, own a cell phone? Raise your hand. Well, it worked. Look at there. It worked. And a vast majority of people in our country and overseas have cell phones, and so it doesn't matter who you are. You can be a shepherd somewhere and have one. And we speak of our Lord as the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, and we talk about the fact that we are His sheep. Part of John 10 that I love so much is the verse where it says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Jesus is speaking to His people of His own belief system, His faith, the Old Testament law. And He says, but not just you sheep, but I've got other sheep out there too, and I'm going to call them and they're going to hear me. I'm very thankful for that the Lord did not exclude anyone from hearing His voice and being a part of His fold, because we are a result of that additional calling that's out there, quite honestly. And I find that to be very encouraging. And we think about the idea of the kind of shepherd that's a good shepherd. You know, that shepherd that climbs through the briars and climbs over the mountains and crosses dangerous terrain to rescue just one sheep. And he'll leave the 99, right? We've heard it. He'll leave the 99 and he'll go out and put his life in jeopardy for one sheep. When you got 99, you know, that's a pretty good percentage. And most people would say, boy, I wish I could get that kind of percentage or, on anything in my life. I could be 99% home from work when I'm supposed to. That'd be great. If I 99% of the time, if I could get my work done at the end of the day, that'd be great. If 99% of the time my children would listen to me, that would be great. If 99% of the time I was right and always said the right things at home, that would be great. If 99% of the time I could hit a baseball, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, right? You know, you see, so you think about these things, and you say to yourself, He left the 99%. And he would go and put his life on the line to save the one. And that picture of him fighting the wolves with a staff or something, and a slingshot, David did, I'm sure, and to put himself in that danger if a bear came down, because bears like lamb chops. So you find all of this and you say, and what do you make an hour? Knowing that kind of shepherd that we have is very comforting to me, because sometimes he has to go great distances to get us, and at great danger to himself. And it's reassuring to know that someone would care enough to go to that length to help us out. When most people, it's an inconvenience. For most people, it's, well, I borrowed a water hose from him, now I feel compelled. Or they bought me a Christmas gift last year, and now I got this obligation kind of thing. Well, they've done this for me. And he's not about that. The fact that he would just be willing to care enough to know if I need anything. And the fact that he is such a shepherd that can defend us, that there is great comfort in it. But my question to you this morning is that shepherd relevant in our modern society? Is it safe for me to say that most of us have really never met a professional shepherd? My wife and her job for the last a number of years have interviewed people for factory work. And I asked her this morning, we were at the dinner table, breakfast table. She made me breakfast. She does it on Sunday morning because she knows I've got a million things going through my mind. If I do that, I'll burn something and make a mess. And she said, look, I'll deal with this. You just focus on what you need focused on. It's one of those things I love her for. And she knows exactly what I need to eat and how. And so I'm eating, I'm thinking about this, and I said, Jen, how many resumes have you seen in your career? And she said, hundreds, thousands, really? And I said, have you ever seen one that actually said on the resume, you know, for 10 years I was a professional shepherd? And I was very serious about this. And she said, no. I've never, ever, in the years that I've worked, in the thousands of resumes I've seen, ever, how many of you who have been in a position of, I've had people send resumes to me, I've been a part of the interviewing process for the corporation I work for, and it's hey, take a look at this resume. I've never seen from 1982 to 92, I was a professional shepherd. I've never seen it. And quite honestly, the only time I really use the word shepherd for the most part is when I'm talking to my brethren, or I'm trying to make a spiritual point with someone. That's just not a word I use. I use the word doctor. I use the word dentist. I use the word administrative assistant, flight attendant, TSA worker, manager, employer, spouse, child, shepherd. How many times have you talked about a shepherd with people in our modern day? My question to you is the shepherd relevant to our modern society? And if he were in our modern day, would he have, in John 10, would he have used another term? And I'll tell you, I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have. If the Bible is for every generation, for every century, for every group of people, and the Holy Spirit gave works and guides us to all truth, and Jesus is sharing a message that will will penetrate the heart of a first century person all the way to the end of time, I don't think he would have used another illustration for himself. I think he'd have said shepherd. Not so much because people don't talk about shepherds anymore, but because the sheep are the same. Sheep never change. And sheep are protected by what? A dentist? No. A manager? No. A shepherd. I think it's very relevant. My purpose this morning is very simple. The Good Shepherd concept is not outdated. In our digital laser genetically researching age, we still need a shepherd. Our shepherd is not a first century shepherd. Our shepherd is the 21st century shepherd that was also the shepherd in the first century. Now, how can we say that in this century we still need a shepherd? I'd like to share with you three things, and we will close, as to why I believe that to be the case, even though the idea of a shepherd has been around since Cain and Abel. Number one, here's why 21st century sheep need a 21st century shepherd, because this shepherd deals with 21st century problems. If you look in John chapter 10, verses 19 through 24, after Jesus makes these comments about being a shepherd and having other sheep and laying down his life, there was division among the Jews. And some of them started saying, he has the devil, he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? And then the others said, these aren't the words of a man who's got a devil. He'd be saying bad things, terrible things. I mean, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That's what happened in John chapter 9. And they're in this conflicting situation here. And in verse 24, they finally, the Jews came around him and said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And they didn't have good intentions there. They just wanted him to go ahead and out himself, so to speak, so they could say, aha, there you go, blasphemy. And then they decided to pick up stones. And he said, what are you stoning me for? What are you doing? And he had to escape it. What I'm telling you is the Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. The main problem that existed in the Jewish around the Jewish leaders and even among the Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago, the same problems we have today are exactly the same. Those people needed a shepherd on that day, on that moment in time, as we do today. They had societal decay. They had marriages who were struggling and on the rocks. They had betrayal, they had stress, they had murder, they had theft, they had hypocrisy, they had spiritual indifference, they had self-centeredness and arrogance and envy and just all these other yucky things. Sound pretty familiar, right? This is very much our world as well. The problems are the same today. Why? Because the sheep are the same. Because man is the same. The same sin that pulled Adam and Eve out of the garden still haunts us 6,000 years later. I mean, we want to be good husbands and wives and parents and children and grandparents and good employees, but are we doing it for the right reasons? The world says that you just need to focus primarily on yourself, and that is all. Oh, your kids, yeah, that's fine. Your wife or your husband, that's fine. But that's it. You look out for you. Well, the Bible tells us that out of the 6 billion people that are upon this earth, we are to consider ourselves number 6 billion. Which is exactly what the world does not say. And we see this every day. It's always about me first. We're going to get into the holiday season pretty quickly. Because it seems like every time I turn around, we're putting up a tree. I don't know what's happening with time, but you just watch this. Go try to find a parking spot in Bass Pro Shop during holiday season and see if somebody will let you in. Just go to the mall and see if somebody will go, oh, you first.
No, I'm fine.
I got all the time in the world. You just get ready. I'll be 6 billion. You go first. Is that what you see typically? No. Now, occasionally you will find someone who says, you know, I'm going to do that because it's just I love this time of the year and it's giving up. But most of the time, it's if you don't put your foot on the gas, you're going to miss that parking spot. Why is it? Because my needs and my concerns are more important than yours. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing. You may not even be a good person. I got stuff to do. And we put ourselves first, or at least many do. But God has always said, out of the 6 billion, you'd be number 6 billion. Our worth doesn't come from what we accomplish, brethren. It never has. It might in the business world, that's fine. If that's where you want to stock it and live it. Good. Good for you. Live with the consequences. I will tell you that our worth, our self-worth, and how we see ourselves when we look in the mirror is not based upon what we have accomplished, but because of who we belong to. Now, I think that would be something for all of us to remember in our lives, especially in those days when we feel a little more sheepier than others. The sheep aren't special. They're like any other sheep. The reason why we're special is because of who is standing in the fold. Because who goes to get us? And who is there to protect us? We have a wonderful, wonderful shepherd. If Adam and Eve would have just accepted the let God be God and we'll be sheep mankind a mindset, the world would have stayed in the garden a little longer. Now, we would have all been thrown out when I got there. Because I'd have said, maybe so. Yeah, let's try it. Snakes walking and talking. There's got to be something to this tree. I would have given in if it had just been me. We'd all gone Lamar. And that way the history of the world would have been. I would have been the guy, not Eve. It doesn't matter. What I'm telling you is, if they would have just stopped though for a minute and said, you know what? We're sheep. Let God be God. Because that's what Satan said. You can be like God. Let God be God. Quit trying to be God. Just be the sheep. We got the easy part. We'll be the sheep. We'll stay in the garden a little longer. If the shepherd can help us with 21st century problems, then the shepherd sheep lesson is very relevant to what's going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If our problems really haven't changed, and they haven't. If our problems haven't changed since Christ rightfully claimed to be our shepherd in John 10, we have a 21st century shepherd that can help us with our 21st century problems and more than capable of doing so. And how wonderful that is. If there's ever been a time where we needed a shepherd, it's now. Point number two is this. The 21st century shepherd leads 21st century sheep. Oh, wait, now he can't just help us with our problems. He actually leads us. He leads us. Scientists hypothesize that if time travel were possible, we would go back in time 1,000 years. There would be one thing that we would notice before anything else. One thing that we'd notice before anything. This is what they hypothesize. You know what it is? It's like 1,000 years. Well, okay. I don't know. No 7-Elevens. No grocery stores. There's no Walmarts. No, that's not it. You know what it would be? Silence. Going back 1,000 years, can walk right out of the time machine and go, listen, what do you hear? Nothing. No background noise of the modern world. No television noise, no road noise, no airplane noise, etc. Telephone, not ringing, not whistling or tweeting or whatever they do. None of that. No disruptions. How many of you have been eating dinner and had the phone ring? Raise your hand. You love that? Don't you love that? Don't you just think, honey, you've made this wonderful meal. Here's what I want to do. I want us to sit down together and have this meal and have somebody call me and try to sell me a blender. Or talk to me about some kind of plan on a television that I don't even want. You want that, don't you? No, you don't. How many times have you been trying to go on with a conversation with someone over a very important matter and all of a sudden go, and then somebody's FaceTiming you and they're looking here and... How many times you've been trying to talk to somebody and all of a sudden a big truck come by, boom, and you go, I can't hear, I hope you, there's a siren, I can't. Go down to New York City, downtown. Is it quiet there? There's noise everywhere. Just noise. 1,000 years ago, much, much quieter. We're surrounded by voices all the time. Televisions got all sorts of voices. All sorts of voices. If I listened to every voice on television, the house wouldn't be big enough to have the product shipping into me. Because it's that, or it's the radio, or it's the internet, or it's Facebook, or whatever, all telling us what we've just got to be and what we've just got to know. And some of them are very, very good at trying to convince us of what we need to be for Christians and how we need to be saved and or how to be cool or how to be thin or how to be at peace or how to be happy. And all this noise is just coming and got right at us all the time. It never stops. The shepherd tells us not to listen to the world. John chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. He that entereth into the door is in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follows him because they know his voice. The Christian religion is a religion of a book. Without this book, there is no religion for us. That's it. It is a religion of a book, holy writ. It leads man. It gives man the information he needs in order to be saved. It keeps him safe in this life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then that verse continues on to say it is everything that you need to please God. Everything you need to please God. That's what Scripture is. Psalm 119 verse 105, we've made songs out of it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says if we walk in the light of what? Light of Christ. His teachings. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with Him. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. It doesn't matter what a 21st century preacher says. It never has. It doesn't matter what a 21st century Bible class teacher teaches. It never has. It doesn't matter what a 21st century church teaches or believes. It never has. The only thing that matters is what God says. And it's not going to get any quieter in our world. It's just going to get noisier. We just have to remember who we're listening to and know who we follow. If we're going to be sheep of the shepherd, we're going to listen to His voice. And yes, we will listen to Him even over our parents. Yes, we will listen to Him even over our grandparents. Yes, we will listen to Him even over our preachers. For as much as they care for us, therein is no life. It's the voice of the shepherd that we must hear, even when the shepherd's voice doesn't fit our 21st century life. Even when it doesn't fit some modern perspective of truth. If numerous flocks are gathered in the same field, you know what happens? The shepherds that come out, that own them, will come out and start calling out to them. And the sheep in that fold, there may be a fold of five different shepherd sheep in there. When that sheep hears the voice of his shepherd, he'll follow him. All of them are calling out. But they don't make the mistake. And one sheep doesn't go over up to that one and look up and go, "Hey, I thought you were my shepherd. Sorry about that." Listening to the wrong shepherd. They don't do that. The shepherd calls out and just his sheep are the ones that come out. It's fascinating. They hear the shepherd's voice and they follow him. The shepherd said, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is his prayer. The good shepherd leads his sheep because they hear his voice and none other. And number three, I'll tell you the final reason why we need a shepherd today, and it's so relevant, is because the 21st century shepherd loves like none other in the modern world. Dave mentioned some of this in preparing us in our thoughts, or sharing his thoughts for us for the Lord's Supper. Every love we've ever known fades in comparison. And we've had some great loves, and we have great loves now. We've seen great loves, we've read about great loves. But every love fades in comparison to the love that the shepherd has for us. In verse 11 and 12 and 13, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who didn't own the sheep, sees a wolf and he leaves the sheep and he flees, and the wolf catches him and scatters the sheep." You know, the hireling is this minimum wage guy. He gets paid. Nobody sets out, you know, at that day and time, "What do you want to be?" "I'm actually going to be a hireling for a shepherd." "Ooh, boy, you're going to be able to build a condo in Joppa." It wouldn't happen. It's a minimum wage job, right? Kind of a starting base job. And the job was, the shepherds would say, "Okay, I've been out with these sheep. I really just need to, I'm going to go into town. I'm going to shower, clean up, whatever. I'm going to eat, be with some human beings for a while. I'm going to pay you so much, minimum wage. You stay here with the sheep overnight. Just stay here and be sure everything's okay. Protect them, be sure nothing happens to them, etc. I'll pay you this much." He goes, "Hey, I'm babysitting. I'm in." So he ends up doing that, but then the problem is, does he really care about the sheep? Well, he does a little bit because it's his job. Not like he doesn't care for them, he does. Something happens to him, he gets in trouble. He doesn't get paid. So he cares, right, for the sheep. But then if he starts hearing some growling and he looks up and he sees the red eyes of five or six wolves, and their teeth are growling, everything on the back of their neck is all up, and they're licking their chops, what's he going to do? He's going to say, "I make minimum wage. My life is worth more," right? We've heard this. We've said it. I've said it. "My life's worth more than minimum wage to me on this job." Really? I got to do that? Are you kidding me? That may kill me. And so that's what happens. And so his life is not worth it. John 10 verse 15 says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The doorway that kind of opens up there, the sheepfold, consisted of the faithful shepherd's body. You didn't always have a door. They had a doorway. They'd build them, and typically they were in a round circle, you know. And sometimes they were high enough where these sheep wouldn't jump out because they don't have a clue what they're doing. Never have. I'm glad God made sheep so sheepy. Because then when he says, "Lamar, you're a sheep," I go, "Oh, good. You know, that makes me feel a little better. I was afraid you were going to put me up to, you know, elephant standards, and I really can't. Thank you for letting me be a sheep." And so you put those sheep in this fold, and so at nighttime, there's only one way in. That's that little doorway, and guess who slept there? Nothing's getting in. I will lay my body here. Not getting in. The sheep know I'm in that doorway. They'll stay. And they'll be comforted. the rest, because they know I'm there. You ever been afraid at night? And comforted to know that someone bigger and stronger, or maybe just there, was in another room resting. Just, you knew that it'd be okay because they were there. To be honest, nobody really loves sheep like the shepherd. Sheep are very naive. Sheep are very clumsy. They really don't have a clue about where they're going. They'll walk right into water and drown themselves. It's like, they act like they have a brain the size of a walnut, and they just, but yet they're loved. That's what's fascinating. He cares for these and would die for these. Now, to the world, that sounds insane. That a man would die for sheep. Jesus said, I don't care if you're not smart about life. I don't care if you don't know which way is up half the time. I don't care if you can't see past your nose. I love you with everything I've got. Paul said God commends His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, really bad, foolish sheep, Christ died for us. That's the kind of love that we need in this day and age. And it's not being seen outside in our world, and it's not being experienced, and people act out as a result. Christ is a 21st century shepherd because not only does He care about our problems, He can deal with them. Number two, because He has the power to direct our lives if we will just simply turn out the noise and listen for His voice and follow Him through His Word. And He is a 21st century shepherd with a love that was shown in the first century when He stretched forth His arms and hanged between heaven and earth for our benefit. When Dave was talking about the Lord's Supper, he mentioned the empty tomb. I sit right back there with my wife, and I said to myself, I wonder what it was like to see Him ascend in Acts chapter 1. That's where my mind goes, Dave. When you say something, I may be... And I pictured what that must have looked like to see Him going up in the sky, and all those people, His 12 were there and others, and watching Him go up, and the Bible says the clouds just received Him out. He just got up in the clouds, and He just, poof, you know, like you see something in the clouds, the planes just disappeared. I wonder how long it took for Him to go up. And I remember Acts chapter 1 saying that they stood there gazing up into heaven, and two angels in white apparel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which you've seen go into heaven, shall also in like manner come back. And then I thought, I wonder how they felt about that. They didn't want Him to leave. And watching Him leave, and then somebody say, why are you looking up there? He'll come back. And I can't help but think, maybe I'm wrong, but I can't help but think that in their minds they were saying, we want Him to come back right now. How long do I have to wait? I want Him to come back now. then I thought, how many of us can say that? I want him to come right now. I want him to come back right now. In good conscience, how many of us can say that? Or how many of us would say, give me some time till I get my act together. Give me some time before I can think a little bit more. Give me some time till I can be a better sheep. And Jesus says, look, you're a sheep. You're not getting any better. But you can come into my fold and you'll be protected. Yes. And you listen to my voice, you'll be blessed. That's what he's offering us. The voice of the shepherd. If you find yourself in that situation this morning, we ask you to come to the sheepfold. Come to the sheepfold where there's safety. There's too many wolves out there, and trust me, you play around long enough out there, you're going to get bit. You're going to get hurt. You'll lose your soul over it. Come to the sheepfold today. Believe that Jesus Christ is indeed that shepherd, that he died on the cross and became a lamb to save us. Repent of your sins and be baptized. Have your sins washed away in that blood to come up cleansed. Be one of his sheep in his fold. If you will do that, we encourage you to make that decision now while we stand together and we sing the song that's been selected.